Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This from Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. No days off. Thanks to some serious teamwork, Massachusetts set to receive over 1 million N95 masks for our frontline workers. Huge thanks to the crafts and several dedicated partners for making this happen. Hello, everyone, and glad to have you with us. We're also happy to start this afternoon on a positive note. I'm Wendy Nix, and a virtual full house today. Josina Anderson is here, Tim Hasselbeck, Mike Tannenbaum, Ryan Clark, and Field Yates. We start, though, with a tweet from Adam Schefter. There continues to be some good news for Derrick Henry. He has, in fact, signed his franchise tender, according to our Adam Schefter. He signed his $10.2 million tender. Two sides still working, committed to working on a long-term extension before July 15th. As for that extension, here's what Titans GM had to say yesterday. I think anytime a player, when you have to use the tag on them, that's probably, that ideally they probably don't want that. But still at the same time, I know that he wants to be a part of this football team. I thought it was good, and they communicated that he does want to be here. It wasn't something where, okay, well, I'll take it and I'm done, or I'm just going to do whatever. He wants to be here. He conveyed the message to me through his agent that he wants to keep working on this thing, and we do too. So we will start with Tim Hasselbeck, who lives in Tennessee. Tim, does this play well for a Titans team that was so close last year? And by that, I mean the efforts to sign Henry to a long-term deal.
Yeah, I think this makes sense completely. One, the franchise, tender, it makes sense right now for the team, especially as they were trying to sign Ryan Tannehill. Pays them a little over $10 million this year. And if you just look at the running back market and some of the deals that have been signed that either didn't work, like Todd Gurley's deal, or a situation like the Jets are having with Le'Veon Bell, where maybe they don't love the deal that they have him signed to, you have to look and just wonder, okay, what is the market for a guy that, quite honestly, is a two-down back, not really a three-down back? And so $10 million is a lot of money this year, but if you can work something out that stays under some of those benchmarks set by those other running backs, then maybe it's something that the Tennessee Titans can digest long-term.
Ryan, I'll get you to weigh in here.
Tennessee Titans. They signed Ryan Tannehill early and show faith in him even before Tom Brady hits the market. And Derrick Henry was the bell cow of this team. In the second half of this season, he was absolutely amazing. And they understand they need him to be a part of the team, but they also know they have to get him for a deal that makes sense for the Tennessee Titans. And I think Derrick Henry showed great faith in signing the franchise tender already. He's showing he wants to be a part of this team. But when you look at what Melvin Gordon got now on the market in Denver as compared to what he was asking for or what was reported he was offered by the Chargers, I think Derrick Henry is smart to stay somewhere where he's wanted, somewhere he's had success, and work on getting a deal done there. And for this team, it shows that if you play well for the Titans, they'll do their best to take care of you.
And what's really interesting about Derrick Henry in particular is last year, he had 30% of all their yards from the line of scrimmage for the resurgent Tennessee offense. He's also actually a very good pass protector, so even though he's not your quintessential three-down back, he does bring a lot of value. And what's really interesting from a big-picture standpoint, the guys already touched on some of these other running back deals that didn't work out, but after Derrick Henry gets resolved one way or the other, there's three great players in Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, and Alvin Kamara. Those will be really interesting to see what kind of deals they get, because as the market has shown us, there's been such buyer's remorse on these bigger second contracts for running backs.
Yeah, and it just really makes sense for him to get it done when you're looking at the running back market just crater the way that it has. I mean, Melvin Gordon getting that deal done, as you mentioned, at 8.5 a year, and obviously he's going to get it done because you want to just secure that money. It'll be interesting to see if they can work towards a long-term deal, if his money on average per year can get even close to what a guy like Chris Johnson, who obviously played for the same team, was making back in 2011 at an average of 13.5 a year. I mean, Adrian Peterson was making 14.1 in 2011. So it'll be interesting to see if his deal can even get back to just equating that market. But clearly this makes sense because not only did he have a strong second half, he had a very strong impact on Ryan Tannehill, who was the best quarterback in terms of play action also when he was starting for the Titans this past season.
It's pretty remarkable to me what Josina just brought up in terms of running back contracts 7 or 8 seasons ago. Think about that. The idea that a player is trying to get back to the threshold that was reached 7 years ago by players like Chris Johnson and Adrian Peterson in their prime, I think is an accurate reflection of what we have been talking about so far, guys, is that while I understand why Derrick Henry signed his tender right now to secure that $10+ million, I think if I'm the Titans, although they've expressed some interest and optimism in getting a deal done, I'm treading very lightly in terms of setting any sort of records with this contract. And I'm not trying to say that Derrick Henry was not remarkable for them last year, but an anecdote that I continue to rely upon is that when they were down by 2 scores in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game, Derrick Henry was not on the field. And it's not that he was not great and helped play a huge part in getting them there, but in a gotta-have-it situation, he wasn't on the field, which is another reason why I think running back contract negotiations right now, Wendy, are about as interesting and difficult for GMs and coaches and all those involved to properly contextualize and actually sort of come to an offer they're comfortable with that makes the player happy but also doesn't put the team in a vulnerable spot in future years.
It's a tricky proposition, no question, even when you consider that Henry is the third Titans player to win a rushing title since 1970, along with Earl Campbell and Chris Johnson. We continue with good news on the road to recovery for Tua Tagovailoa. The former Alabama quarterback has gone through 4 months of rehab to repair a broken hip and recently was medically cleared to return to the field to do drills, to throw a football again. And without giving a specific recovery timeline, Tagovailoa didn't rule out the idea that he would be available and able to play as a rookie. That was SportsCenter's Kevin Negande speaking with Tua. Mike, I'll start with you. He says he's ready, and we certainly hope so, but you don't know. And right now, given our environment, you can't find out. So what's your take as a GM?
Yeah, Wendy, you can't take this player in the top 10. It would simply be irresponsible. Last year, Kyler Murray got over $35 million in fully guaranteed money with the first pick in the draft, and you just don't know where Tua is. You hope he's okay, but unless your doctors can check range of motion, mobility, have your strength coach, your trainers actually work him out, see how he does, it's just irresponsible to allocate that sort of guaranteed money in the top 10. Look, if you're somewhere in the middle of the first round, you could take a calculated risk, but this is a very complicated injury. It's a part of the body that's not well vascularized. When you come back from this injury, it's not easy to predict. So while there's expectations he'll be okay, I just think it's too risky this year, given the environment that we're in, to take this player in the top 10.
Wow. I mean, that's remarkable to hear, especially when you see so many people talking about, you know, teams maybe trading up to get him. I think when you look at that, and look, I talked to Trent Dilfer this morning, who's training him. He said he's about 9 throwing sessions in. He said the thing that has really, you know, struck him is that, you know, he basically is not fatiguing. He's, you know, getting after it day after day after day, and he's been really impressed by him. And so if you trust the people around him, and you trust other doctors and their medical opinion, doctors that maybe have seen him in person, I think you have to go off of that, and certainly there'd be a leap of faith there, but, you know, I think there kind of always is anytime there's a player with any type of, you know, medical issue where you're, you know, you have front office people and coaches trusting a medical, you know, a doctor's opinion on it. You know, I just think it's interesting to hear that because, you know, obviously seeing the videos is encouraging. Him saying he's 100% is encouraging, and people I've talked to obviously have been around him have been really encouraged by what they've done with him.
I mean, this is going to be a decision that's based on fear, and it's going to be which fear motivates you. Is it going to be the fear that if you draft Tua Tagovailoa in the first 10 picks or the first 5 picks and he gets injured, now you've set your franchise back? Or is it going to be the fear that if Tua Tagovailoa is healthy and all we've ever seen from him since he came into the second half of the national championship against Georgia is great play. When you look at his body of work, there's going to be a fear that, man, I can't miss out on this kid if he is healthy. And so depending on what team you are and what side of this you stand, you're going to listen to him and say, okay, he says he's 100%. They say he'll be able to play. He feels healthy. He's not fatiguing. And there's going to be a team that's going to jump up to me in the top 10 and draft Tua Tagovailoa. And I think this kind of offseason that has been uncertain, that has been something unprecedented, actually benefits him in a way where he gets to control the narrative about what's out there, about what people see, and there's going to be a team that remembers all the great things that this kid did in Tuscaloosa that's going to pick him, and hopefully for them he's healthy, because if he is, I believe he's still the best quarterback in this draft.
And he did do some great things in Tuscaloosa, Ryan. He threw 26 touchdown passes before his first interception in each of the last two seasons. So there's that if he's healthy, there's a tremendous upside. Well, the Dallas Cowboys are giving Alden Smith a chance to resurrect his career, signing the talented but troubled defensive end to a one-year deal worth up to $4 million, according to our sources at ESPN. He posted a pair of photos via Instagram Wednesday night, including one signing the contract. In the caption, he wrote, "Life is good. I'm thankful. I'm blessed. I'm a Cowboy." Now, here's why the Cowboys would give him a chance. He averages the fourth most sacks in a game in NFL history. This behind some elite company, J.J. Watt, Reggie White, and Chandler Jones, although his production has fallen off since he exploded onto the scene with the 49ers. But he hasn't played an NFL game in nearly 5 years, and here's why. Released by the Raiders in 2018 after charges that included domestic violence, he also had DUI-related arrests in both 2013 and 2015. Mike Tannenbaum, I will start with you. Listen, let's go here, I guess. Another deal from the Cowboys and another deal that isn't Dak Prescott. What do you make of this?
Well, I like the signing because it's the ultimate boom or bust. He's reunited with Jim Tomsula, who he was with in San Francisco. He had a lot of success with Coach Tomsula. This will be the new normal in Dallas. Once Dak Prescott signs a long-term deal or just signs the franchise tag year after year, the savings is going to have to come from places like signing guys like Alden Smith on one-year deals, where if you hit, there's great upside. If there's any bumps in the road, you can move on from Alden Smith. So philosophically, I really like the signing. But as you mentioned, Wendy, it's the quarterback, the quarterback, the quarterback. We've talked about this for a long time. Get Dak Prescott signed. 26 years old, won 40 games as a starter. His price is only going to continue to go up. So opportunistically, this deal makes sense, but get the quarterback signed.
Yeah, Wendy, I wanted to start by saying that I don't think that this signing has any implications or is any way relevant to the Dak Prescott negotiations that continue to take place right now. The Cowboys have a budget. They know what, if a deal gets done with Dak Prescott, generally speaking, what it's going to look like. And they've got extra resources allocated to the rest of the roster. It's quite the risk here. And you mentioned the last time he played in a game was 2015. It's actually remarkable that Aldon Smith got a deal worth up to $4 million. He has not played a game in 5 seasons. Yeah, yes, he had a prodigious beginning to his career. But for a player to be out of the league, and it's not like he was playing competitive football anywhere during these past 5 seasons, and to be back on a deal that pays him up to $4 million when other players who have been playing and were playing last year are having a hard time finding work right now, I think it shows a faith the Cowboys have in their new defensive line coach, Jim Tom Sula, to be the guy that can get the very best out of Aldon Smith once again for this upcoming season.
I believe they think they can get the best out of Aldon Smith. I also believe that this has nothing to do with Dak Prescott, as Field has mentioned already. And you look at this deal, yes, it is up to $4 million, and you're kind of thinking back to what Aldon Smith was when he entered the league before some of the trouble away from the field. And this guy was a menace. This guy was a monster off the edge. And so the Cowboys are thinking business-like. Jerry Jones is doing business. It's how he became a billionaire. He's saying, if I can get some of what he used to be for up to $4 million, then I'm winning. And when you look at Dak Prescott, what's going to happen every time someone signs, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Jalen Smith, we're going to think, when does the Dak deal get done? But for that deal to get done, both sides have to agree, and they just aren't there yet. So you can't expect the Jones family or the Cowboys to stop trying to build a team because Dak Prescott hasn't come off the franchise tender yet. So for me, I think it's a deal that's smart. We're obviously going to question until Dak is done. But if Aldon Smith plays well, I think this is a home run.
I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying, but I think Mike makes the best point here in terms of, in order to sign Dak Prescott to this huge deal that we all assume he's going to get at some point, and he deserves, by the way, you have to beat the market in other areas. And one of the ways you beat the market is you sign an elite pass rusher who's been out of the league for 5 years with off the field issues. And so if Aldon Smith is right, one of the ways it works to pay your quarterback, whatever it ends up being, $40 million a year, is to have a guy that can give you 12 sacks a year, but you're only paying him $4 million. You know, I mean, I think you do have to get creative. If you're going to pay your quarterback that much money, one of the ways you do it, do that, is you take risks in other areas, and this is one of those risks.
All right, guys, I know he's due for a big raise, but do consider this. Dak Prescott made just shy of $5 million in his first 4 seasons combined. That deal we're talking about, $4 million for Aldon Smith, but those are the breaks sometimes. Dak will get paid. How about this? Antonio Brown catching passes from 2019 MVP Lamar Jackson. This was a video that was posted to Instagram on Wednesday. Brown is the cousin of Ravens wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown, who was also in the video. Brown hasn't been playing, of course, since released by the Patriots week 2 of 2019. Mike Tannenbaum, let me start with you again. What is the market for Antonio Brown?
Well, there's not one right now because we don't know about his eligibility, but I loved Baltimore trying to sign him for 2 reasons. First, on the field, he's explosive. We all know that in terms of going back from 2013 to 2018, led the league in 20-yard or more touchdown passes. So if he's eligible, we know how explosive he is. And probably more importantly, from a cultural standpoint, he's working out with two key teammates, Hollywood Brown and Lamar Jackson. So he has some built-in infrastructure to go into a locker room that's obviously been very productive, tight-knit group. Lamar Jackson's the future of the Ravens. And if there's inevitable bumps in the road with Antonio Brown, at least he has two teammates that are there that can help him. And if I'm John Harbaugh, because of that, I may give him a chance. But, boy, I really try to minimize the guaranteed money and pay for performance.
I mean, I agree with everything you said there, Mike. When you look at the situation with Antonio Brown, if he was eligible, right, I think that's the fear right now, or the concern right now, is what's his status with the league? He's kind of had a list of, you know, various things, you know, kind of against him that would cause you to be a little bit nervous. And then there's stuff that doesn't even have him in trouble with the league that you would just have to be concerned about from a locker room perspective. With all of that being said, if he was given the thumbs up by the league, they are just so many teams that look at his talent, his ability, and think, look, we can use this guy. And then we've seen it time and time again of coaching staffs and teams that think their locker room is strong enough to handle somebody like Antonio Brown. And so, I guess the longer this goes on, the more you see him with other people. And if, in fact, he does get reinstated, it does appear that he probably has not played his last down in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm sort of like, Antonio Brown is so far off my radar right now, guys, given that there feels like there are so many hurdles he has to clear before he can even sign with the team. Tim, you just mentioned it. The NFL's got to clear up Antonio Brown's status. He's got a grievance against the Ravens that's going to be heard in May. Presumably he'll have a grievance against the Patriots that will later be heard regarding that 1 year, which ended up being 1 week contract with New England. So I understand why we're talking about it, given that he was pictured and worked out with Hollywood Brown, Lamar Jackson. But I made nothing of this other than the fact that it's his cousin, and his cousin happens to be teammates with the most electric quarterback in the NFL, that being Lamar Jackson.
All right, Phil, thank you. The Ravens, though, had
I think Phil is absolutely right. I think Phil is absolutely right in that. I don't make a lot of it, but I also don't believe the Ravens should sign him.
All right, Ryan, thank you. The Ravens, by the way, though, had the fewest catches and yards from wideouts in 2019, for whatever that's worth. How about this? This is worth something, a lot, actually. Christian McCaffrey announced via Twitter this afternoon his new initiative, 22andYou. It's to support frontline healthcare workers in the Carolinas. In his post, he says we'll be directing monies raised to North Carolina Healthcare Foundation and South Carolina Hospital Association Foundation, and he's personally matching the commitment of these great companies. I encourage people to donate whatever you can, $22, $220, or $2,200, and he will match.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Once again, from Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, a picture of the Patriots team playing with this. No days off. Thanks to some serious teamwork, Massachusetts is set to receive over 1 million N95 masks for our frontline workers. The Patriots team plane brought them back. Huge thanks to the Crafts and several dedicated partners for making this happen. And here's what Robert Kraft had to say. It's an honor for our family to be part of this humanitarian mission. We knew that purchasing greatly needed N95 masks and providing the Patriots plane to expedite their delivery to local hospitals would immediately help protect our courageous healthcare professionals, multiple organizations across the public and private sectors, all of which were in lockstep with Governor Charlie Baker's visionary leadership, worked together to execute this mission with the purpose of helping save lives. I truly hope that in doing so, we can in some way inspire others to find creative ways to give more in support of our doctors, nurses, and first responders. It's nice to care for those who provide such compassionate care for us. And then this from Laramie Tunsil. In these times, I want to do everything I can to support those in need. I will be committing up to $250,000 towards COVID-19 relief, including donations to the Florida Gateway Food Bank in my hometown of Lake City. I'm also looking to help bring relief to those struggling to get their bills paid. Scroll over to see how you can potentially receive funds. Everyone, please continue to stay safe. Wash your hands and practice social distancing with the hashtag Laramie Cares. And we say hello now to Laramie Tunsil. And Laramie, I want to start there with your recent donations and commitments to helping with the COVID-19 pandemic. Take us through what these causes mean to you and how everyone can help.
For sure. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk on TV for sure and voice my opinion. But I just want to start by saying, that's always been my goal is to give back. to the community, especially seeing this going on. That was my biggest thing, is give back and hopefully spark the mindset of somebody else who wants to also give back.
All right, Laramie, we have a number of other folks with us here virtually anyway, and I'll turn it over now to Josina Anderson. JoJo?
Hey, Laramie, Josina here. How are you?
How you doing, Joe? I'm good.
Good, good, good. So we know earlier this week you opened talks on a multi-year extension. Preliminary proposals were exchanged. Can you just give us an idea when you're targeting or hoping for that to be done and why it's important for you to, raise the bar in the market? We know that Lane Johnson currently is the highest paid tackle at $18 million.
Of course. I'm not going to talk numbers. I'm going to leave that between me and the club, the Texans. But I'm looking to be the highest paid offensive lineman, of course. I feel like I work my butt off every day just to be in that position, and hopefully we can make it happen.
Mike Tannenbaum, you're with us as
LT,
well.
It's,
go ahead.
Mike T.
Hey, LT, it's good to be with you. Yeah, good to be with you.
What's up, my guy?
What'd you make of the recent trade of good to be with you. What would you make of the recent trade of your teammate DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona?
That one hurts, but it's a part of the business. I was in that same position not even a year ago. I was in that same position, so I know what it's about. I know the feeling. And it's all about business, and we just got to keep moving and continue to win games and work to be the best.
So, Laramie, with the exit of DeAndre Hopkins, Jadeveon Clowney, Dwayne Brown, and guys like that, I mean, can you just put into your words how you would characterize Bill O'Brien's leadership and how he deals with big-name players on the team?
Billy O, that's what I call him. In my opinion, he's doing a great job by leading the team. He's doing everything in his best ability. Like I said, it's time for us to win games and close our games, in my opinion. But, that's all up to the front office of what they do trading-wise. And, I'm just here to help the team win games.
Laramie, to that end, as helping the team win games, you have to stay in shape. You have to get ready for the season we hope will eventually come. And that's tricky right now. How are you working out and staying in shape and getting ready?
I actually have an in-home gym in my garage, so. And I have a trainer that also helps me out, so I'm in pretty good shape right now. Working with him, I actually just got done working out with D4, Deshaun Watson, so that was pretty dope opportunity to have.
All right, so are you a 7-day-a-week guy? You working out 7 days, taking a day off? What's the deal?
Of course, I got to take a day off. I got to take Wednesdays off for sure. Work 4 days a week.
All right, Laramie, we appreciate you joining us, and certainly appreciate your efforts with the COVID-19 pandemic as well.
Thank you so much.
Best of
luck. Thank you.
Meanwhile, the quarterback carousel goes round and round. One of the unknown jobs remaining, we believe anyway, would be the Chargers. There's some speculation that Cam Newton could be a fit after he posted a photo working out with Chargers quarterback Tyrod Taylor last week. For now, though, Taylor is in the driver's seat, and this is according to head coach Anthony Lynn, who spoke yesterday. Here's what he said. I brought him in last year, and I knew that if we needed him to start, if something happened to Phil, then he could go in and start. I'm very familiar with Tyrod. I would say right now it looks like he's in the driver's seat, but no position is final until we get to training camp right now. He added this when asked specifically about Cam Newton. We're looking at everybody. I want to turn over every single rock. So, yeah, we're looking at everybody. Tyrod Taylor ranks around the league average in many passing categories since becoming the Bills starter in 2015, but he cannot be completely overlooked. During that span, he has a higher total QBR than Phillip Rivers, a better win percentage than Derek Carr, and a higher touchdown-to-interception ratio than Dak Prescott. Ryan, if you're out there, and I think you are, Tim, we're going to go to Tim, and let me ask you this. Would you be comfortable with Tyrod Taylor if the Chargers go down that road?
Yeah, I wouldn't be comfortable with Tyrod Taylor. You referenced his numbers. He really played well as a starter. And, with Anthony Lynn as his coach, he actually, has done much better than people probably remember him doing. All of that being said, I think you can be both comfortable with Tyrod Taylor as being the starter and still be very open to addressing the quarterback room if you're the Chargers by way of the draft and possibly early in the draft, which maybe would be a good thing for Tyrod, or by way of Cam Newton, if, you know, you feel comfortable with where Cam is health-wise, to be in a situation where maybe when Cam sees a little bit softer market than he was anticipating, you know, as a free agent, he, you know, maybe signs a more team-friendly deal or less of a commitment from the team in terms of, you know, the length of the deal. So, look, I think both of those things can be true. I think Anthony Lynn can be happy and confident in Tyrod Taylor, and they can still not be done addressing the quarterback position.
I totally agree with Tim on this. And if you go back a couple of years, Anthony Lynn and Tyrod Taylor were in Buffalo. They had some success there. People don't realize Tyrod Taylor is only 30 years old. He's 23-21-1 as a starter. And I've worked with Coach Lynn, and Tyrod Taylor really has a lot of the traits that Coach Lynn values: toughness, competitive. He's good with his feet in terms of being able to make plays outside the pocket. So this is really a good fit there. They could win games with Tyrod Taylor, and now it sets up really well for the Chargers at six. You could go ahead and take someone like Justin Herbert if he's still there. Maybe you trade back. Obviously, Tua, we've already talked about that and his unique medical situation. So I think Tyrod Taylor isn't giving the credit that he should be in terms of the national conversation, but knowing Coach Lynn, I know he'd be very comfortable lining up, and they can win a lot of games with him as their quarterback.
Mike, thank you. Let me turn to our insiders. Josina, what do you hear regarding the Chargers quarterback job?
Every time I've talked to sources around the Chargers, they've expressed nothing but confidence in Tyrod Taylor. He knows the system, has an excellent relationship with Anthony Lynn. And if you really think about his tenure back in Cleveland, you know, although there are a lot of people who really wanted them to move on to Baker Mayfield, you saw over time that Baker Mayfield started to kind of struggle with the same issues that initially Tyrod Taylor had, which was behind that offensive line. But he is a guy that they feel like still has a great arm, is very young, is very mobile, and can operate very efficiently in this offense. And on top of that, they feel good about their depth behind him as well and will still look to add at the position in the draft.
You know, Wendy, I think we should be frank with ourselves. The reason why we're talking about Tyrod Taylor so much is because Cam Newton's available. And we're saying, why haven't the Chargers expressed more interest in Cam Newton or even signed him? Let's just apply some common logic here for a second. We're 3 weeks away, somehow, from the start of the NFL draft. If the Chargers, as Mike and others have alluded to, take a quarterback at sixth overall after already signing Cam Newton, well, then all of a sudden you'd have a completely overcrowded quarterback room that would lack logic and sense to it. So I think what the Chargers are probably doing right now is, for all the right reasons, expressing confidence and planning on having Tyrod Taylor as their starter going into the regular season. Now, if the draft doesn't shake out their way, which maybe they hope it does right now, if their preferred quarterback or quarterbacks are off the board at pick six, then maybe Cam Newton does pop back on their radar later on this offseason, even if it feels unlikely right now, because it's not like they're competing against anybody. Cam Newton has zero suitors at the moment, as we have been talking about, along with Jameis Winston. Basically, every team has either already filled its quarterback spot or is in great position to do so in the draft, like the Bengals. So I understand why Cam is going to be a topic of conversation, but if anybody's bracing for a Cam to the Chargers announcement, at least to me, seems logical that the Chargers might just say, hey, we got 3 weeks to prepare for the draft, and that will be the best way for us to assess whether Cam fits in our organization.
All right, Ryan Clark back with us. Ryan, when you look at the Chargers in the quarterback position, what's your takeaway?
Listen, my takeaway is that they believe in Tyrod Taylor. He's a guy who has been a starter in this league, and I think they want to evaluate their team as a whole in this draft first before moving on to another veteran quarterback, especially one in Cam Newton who has injury concerns right now, and you can't get him in the building. You can't check him out. You can't have him go in with your doctor so you can get your assessment and physical on him. And so I believe what Phil says makes sense to me. Let's see what we can do in the draft, or if we even want to draft someone at that position. And if we don't, now we can see where Cam Newton is, if that's somebody we are interested in. I think that all teams understand that right now they aren't fighting with anyone to get to a Cam Newton or to get to a Jameis Winston. So they'll wait and see. And this could be something that carries on into the summer before either of those guys gets a job, but especially Cam Newton, because I know teams want to see him up close. They want to see him in person so they can know what Cam Newton they'll be getting.
So many question marks. Ryan, thank you. Whoever starts for the Chargers will be a fresh face. Since 2004, their starting quarterbacks have been Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, and Doug Flutie. It's been a minute. Well, the market has spoken, and the price has dropped for Jadeveon Clowney. The free agent defensive end has been looking for more than $20 million per season. And according to our Diana Rossini, Clowney now looking for a number closest to $17 to $18 million. We'll turn now again to Josina Anderson. JoJo, what can you tell us about the market for Jadeveon Clowney?
Well, based on my conversations last night, it's my understanding that the Seahawks don't feel that Jadeveon Clowney is quite ready to make a decision on what he's doing in free agency in terms of selecting a team, and thus they feel like they have to continue conducting business, and thus the deal and the move to sign Benson Mayoa yesterday, which I'm told could adjust the available budget that they have for Jadeveon Clowney in a possible return. They do still like him, think highly of him, think it's possible that he could return, but we'll see if those numbers match up, Wendy.
Mike?
And when you look at, when you look across the landscape of football, this is the third of three players we've talked about this past hour that are being directly impacted by what's going on in the world. We talked about Tua Tagovailoa, we've talked about Cam Newton, and now Jadeveon Clowney. These are three notable players that have had significant injury issues. Clowney's only 27 years old, but he's only played in 16 games once. He's an outstanding pass rusher, but it's not accident that these three players that we're talking about them, and I see him signing a one-year deal. The two New York teams make a ton of sense to me. Both the Jets and the Giants could use help in the pass rush department. To take a one-year deal makes a lot of sense, and they'll get to see what he's like and see if he can put together another productive season, and more importantly, in his case, playing 16 games.
Clowney hasn't racked up.
Wendy,
go ahead, JoJo.
I was just saying, the mitigating factor is not just the three sacks, which we talked about. Obviously, that's not the only metric that you quantify a pass rush. And obviously, he had the injuries that contributed to that. But the other thing that's contributing to Jadeveon Clowney's situation is that he had surgery post the season. So given the pandemic that the world is going through now and teams are having to work around, that makes it an additional factor that teams have to. And that was mentioned to me last night in conversations, that you're not really able to get your hands on him right now. But, you know, again, Jadeveon Clowney seems comfortable to sit back as of right now and continue to survey the market. And my understanding also is that the Titans feel that they're still available and looking to bring in good players should, you know, like a Clowney, if the numbers can match up.
Well, you're right. We did look at those sack numbers, but he is also a big-time disruptor, posting the third highest pass rush win rate in the NFL over the last two seasons. So there's additional metrics there as well. An update on the NFL draft from our own Diana Rossini. Thought this was interesting. The league offices let teams know they will not mandate that clubs move their draft day operations to an alternate off-site location. If it's decided that it's safe and legally compliant, teams can draft at their own facility. She continues, here's what's still being considered as the league continues to gather information. Draft sites at the facility, which would limit the number of people, totally remote. The NFL will decide based on guidance from Dr. Sills and the CDC. Here's Chiefs head coach Andy Reid on his thoughts regarding the timing of the upcoming draft 3 weeks from today. The draft scheduled for Las Vegas, April 23rd through the 25th. It will not, of course, be in Las Vegas, but it will go on as scheduled. Field, I'll start with you and the league's decision to continue.
You know, Wendy, I'm shocked in some ways. I just think that it's incredible that 3 weeks away from the draft is still going on as scheduled, even if not done in the same location with the usual pizzazz and all of the celebrations that are around it. It's just hard to fathom that seemingly a lot of other aspects, if not most other aspects, are suspended right now in reality, and football continues to operate, but we'll continue to cover it no matter how long the NFL, or for as long as the NFL, is doing business as usual.
Mike Tannenbaum?
Well, I just like the fact that...
Oh, go ahead, JoJo.
Oh, yep. Sorry. I just like the fact that Andy Reid is expressing awareness of the dualism of the situation and is empathetic to both sides, but at the same time recognizing that, you know, in this country that sports has for a long time represented an escape to everybody, especially from the suffering that's going on. And so we'll continue to move forward in our coverage and also in just presenting that opportunity to put it on.
JoJo, thank you. Certainly good points. And Ryan, I'll ask you to round it out. Agree with the decision to continue?
Well, I'm going to share something that I haven't shared publicly. I am on both sides of it. My mom tested positive over a week ago, and so she's been on quarantine. And just talking to her, she just wants some normalcy, and that's what she's looking for. You know, this time I to talk to you guys and do my job when it comes to football has been good for me. And so I don't think Andy Reid is wrong in that. The people who love football will enjoy getting away from what's been going on. And so I think it's a good thing that they've kept the schedule. I just hope it goes off well.
All right, Ryan, and certainly our best wishes for continued recovery for your mom. We're back tomorrow.